The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shraga Kalus, Pesach in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The center can be reached for dispute resolution and many other halachic services at 888-485-VAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Different things from the pasuk that we learn in Hashem's Aveda. The Gemara dashes. Gemara number Beis. Says the Gemara, Vahayoi macha, adjroish achicha oisei. The Gemara dashes out from here that a person has to keep the Aveda until he finds, he's doyish, until he finds the person, the loser who lost the Aveda. That's his responsibility, is to keep this Aveda and to basically try and find the owner. And the Gemara says, Avkirikach, there are certain times that a person is putter from returning the Aveda. L'moshel, there are certain times that he's not going to be allowed to return the Aveda. For example, our Gemara comes out, you're not allowed to return the Aveda to a Rami. You return the guy to a swindler, right? A person who's not an... you see this guy, he doesn't seem honest. He seems to know the Simonim to find out how this is his Aveda. He seems to know that this is Aveda, he knows Simonim. But if you don't trust this guy, and you see that he's not an ethical fellow, so then you're not allowed to return the Aveda to this fellow. I once heard from... The Shulchan Aruch says in Chesh Mishpat that a person who's a Talmud Chacham, even nowadays, Talmud Chacham, a Yeshiva Bacher, you don't have to assume that he's a Rami. A person is an Erel Chagid, you don't have to assume he's a Rami. But let's say it's someone you don't know. So I once heard from Vyashim, it's enough. You don't have to go and find out, aid him if the person's ethical. But if you call up a Shul Rabbi, and a Shul Rabbi is not scared of him enough to say that he's Taka, he's an ethical person, to say that he's not an ethical person. So then you can be tzaymich on him to return the Aveda to this person if he has the proper simanim, which Bez Hashem will discuss what are considered. A different time we'll try and discuss what are the proper simanim. That's one case. The Gemara says that you have to keep this Aveda until you find the person who it rightfully belongs to. But in the Gemara at the beginning of our daf over here, there's a tremendous Gemara. The Gemara over here darshins and chavzayinam and aleph that a person is potter from returning an Aveda if this Aveda is less than a shavah pruta. You're only responsible to return Aveda if the Aveda is Shava Pruta, if it is worth the Pruta, if it has a certain value to it of a Pruta. Now, Sam, before we start, what is the value of a Pruta? What's its value? What's the Gemara talking? Halacha L'maisa. What is the amount? And if I find this amount on the floor, I'm required to return the Aveda. And what's the amount that if I would find this amount on the floor, I would not be required to return the Aveda? So, we know there's emphasis in the Machlekes, Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's like a kuntris that brings down kuntris. I don't know if Rav Moshe wrote it or if it's a kuntris that has Rav Moshe's psukim in it, but from Rav Moshe, it seems to be that there's a shita in the paiskim that a pruta, it's not, we think a pruta means, you know, the smallest coin in the Medina, right? The smallest coin. Well, a penny, we'll call it, right? Or a 5 agurot. I don't think they have them anymore now. Now they have 10 agurot, fine. But, the mindset of Moshe says not like that. Rav Moshe says that a pruta is the smallest, it has to do, I can't go into it now, it has to do with different shitas in the paiskim. It is the smallest coin in the Medina that one is able to buy things with. The smallest coin. I'll give you an example. Rav Moshe, in that tape I was reading, they brought down that Rav Moshe said that therefore a nickel. A penny you can't buy anything with, but a nickel you can buy things with. I don't know. If that's the Metzius, so then of course 30 years later after Rav Moshe wrote this, then the Metzius has changed. No longer a nickel. You can't buy anything with a nickel. I thought, Demis, when I went to America just now, I tried to look around. I tried to buy things with a dime. It didn't work, you know. You know, I went into the store, I asked them, you know, the French fries are a dollar. I said, what if I buy just two fries? You know, it didn't work. It didn't go over there. But I'll go upon him. It seems to be that I'm not sure if it's a dime or if it's a quarter, but it's definitely not a nickel. According to that, it'll come out that let's say you find something under the value of, let's say a quarter. I'll go with a quarter. It's hard to convey 100%, but let's say you find something under the value of a quarter, according to this, you're not chayiv hashavas haveid on this. Number one. And number two, not only that, you're allowed to keep it. That's halacha. Right? So you find, there's not going to be too many things. But if you find something which is under that value, so then you'd be allowed to keep it. Number one. Number two, we discussed, that's the Gemara dashing out. The Gemara has a pasuk that they dashing out. Prat, the Gemara says, Prat laveda sheim b'shava pruta. Tanur abonon asher toivon. Prat laveda sheim b'shava pruta. Tzeiros hakosif. That a person is potter from under the value of shava pruta. Number one. Number two, we spoke about once that what happens if it's a shava pruta to the loser, but to the finder, to everybody else in the world, it's not a shava pruta. For example, let's say for a person has one shoe. Found one shoe. One shoe is worthless to everybody else in the world. But to the person who has the other shoe, of course, it's worth money. So that we saw that we pass in halacha l'maisa, that rather you also have a mitzvah of a Shabbos Aveda. That's called a pruta, that's called a person that's chayav in the situation of Shabbos Aveda. Okay. Now, l'maisa, I want to go now to a few cases that come out a little bit more off the daf, but some cases that come out where we find how much was the Torah mechayev me, to what extent? To what extent was the finder of an Aveda that's chayev to go and make sure that he gets it back? Right? What, you know, we see now that there are certain cases where he's not chayev. For example, he's not chayev at all if he finds something less than a pruta. What is to what point? I'll give you a few examples that we can discuss today. So, Marshall, let's say he finds something on Shabbos, which is muksa. Is he allowed to pick it up? It's a mitzvah deraisa of a Shabbos Aveda. He finds on the floor, he finds some kind of a computer thing, he finds one of these tape things that they take with the MP3s or something, he finds one of these things on the floor. Right? So of course these things on Shabbos are muksa. Sometimes they'll be muksa machmas chasarin kis. We'll see in a minute. And sometimes they'll be a kli shemalachta le'iser. So to what extent does a person have a requirement to return in such a situation? Yes, because it's in muksa on the one hand. He's not allowed to pick it up. He wouldn't be allowed to pick it up if it was his own iPod, if it was his own MP3. So what about if it's not his own? Is he allowed to do it because there's a mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda, which is incumbent upon him to go and do it? That's one type of shayla we'll discuss today. Bezer Hashem. It's another shayla. To what point am I required to do the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda? I'll explain. Let's say, for example, am I mechayev? I find the Aveda. Right? I'll give you an example. I'll talk about the case that happened to me once. One time, I paid for something in Bnei Brak, and I gave the owner behind the counter, I gave him what I thought was a 50 shekel bill. Right? And he gave me, and really what it was a 20 shekel bill. And as I gave him, I was buying something that cost 50 shekel, and I gave him a 20 shekel bill by mistake. He didn't cut the mistake, and I didn't cut the mistake, and I cut the mistake back in Yerushalayim. And I'm chayiv to go back now to Bnei Brak to return this one type of shayla. Right? We'll see. You know, it's midine, I'll explain. If I were to find an aveda on the street, I find a lost item, is it my requirement to go and give it back to the loser? Or is it his requirement to come to me? Number one. Number two, and what's this case like? Our case that we're discussing, is this like an aveda case? That, you know, I have found money by me. Or is this more like a Geneva case? Maybe it's considered somewhat like stealing. Another case that you can think of, which is a little bit different than the first case. The first case is that I have an item now by me that costs 50 shekel, and I really only pay 20 shekel. That means there's 30 shekel of stolen goods by me. That's one type of case. There's another case. What if, a different scenario, let's say I give the owner 50 shekel, and he gives me back change, and he gives me back too much change. He gives me back 15 shekel extra change than he was supposed to give. Does the halacha change? Because we'll try and go to these two cases and see, is the halacha any different? Does it require me to go to him? Or does he have to come to me? So these are the different scenarios. Oh, the emphasis is like this. I wanted to start with one nekuda. There's a big aside that we have to know when Hashem's Aveda, we'll see it's up Gemara's later on. When it comes to the mitzvah of Hashem's Aveda, I'm not required I'm not allowed, number one, I'm not allowed to take money for it. I'm not allowed to take a reward. I'll explain. There's a Gemara later on that talks about prika. The Gemara discusses that a person he's on the road and he sees his friend and he needs his help, etc. So the Gemara says you have this person, the animal needs buckling up to the weight, right? They have to take off the weight from the animal. And the Gemara dashes now at the pasuk in the Torah that he must do it. And the Gemara says la'alacha that he must do it for free. Right? You see your friend, he's buckling under the weight, etc. You must do it for free. You must help him down with that weight. You must do it for free. But Hashem, maybe we'll talk about this later on that Lamed Beis. But the Maaseh comes out from the Gemara, says the Rosh, not only in the mitzvah of Prika is one required to do the mitzvah for free, but also in the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. One is required to do it for free. That means, you know, you go to the person, find the wallet, you know, here's your wallet, sir, here's the money, etc. Right? The person gives you the practice of the money, he's going to put your hand out, you know, where's my reward? Not allowed to do that. You know, just like Hashem does things for free, so you have to do things for free. That's the halacha. I once heard from my Rebbe, Meshach Tenbo, told me that you told the person, you know, I don't take a reward. I don't take a reward, you know, because the Torah says do it for free. But the guy says, no, I insist that you take a reward. That's allowed. That's allowed. As long as you didn't do it for the reward, and as long as you made it clear to him that I don't expect the reward, so then you're allowed to take a reward if, you know, he insists, as we say. Right? That's one case. So, but there's another din though, but I'm not required to lose any money for the mitzvah of Shabbos Aveda. Later on, the Gemara is going to say, okay, Gemara says that let's say I'm working, or let's say I have my Aveda, which I also, I lost something, and there's a choice of saving one of the things, mine or his. So then the Gemara comes out that I'm not required to take a financial loss to save the other person's Aveda. Right? And it's, we'll explain. You're not allowed, the mitzvah of Hashem's Aveda was required you to say, no, guy can't say, oh, I'm sitting and learning Torah now, right? Don't do Hashem's Aveda, you know, that's a little Torah. That's the mitzvah. You learn Torah, and it has to be Mekayim the mitzvahs. You have to, even if you're going to lose out on learning Torah, you also have to do Hashem's Aveda. Even if you're going to lose time, you have to do Hashem's Aveda. But you're not required to lose money for Hashem's Aveda. You're not allowed to get money for Hashem's Aveda, but you're not allowed, but you are not responsible to lose money. For example, if I'm in the middle of my job and I'll take a dock in my pay, you're not responsible to go and to return the Aveda in such a situation. However, you do have to know one Nakuda, that there is a grad. And the grad says, it's up to the Gemara's later on, the grad, the Shulchan Aruch, a rat passing. What if there's an umdana? You know for sure that if you return his Aveda, he'll reimburse you. Right? For example, guys, you find a diamond ring on the floor. So you're working in the, you're working behind the counter, and you're making $8 an hour. And you find a diamond ring there. And you know, if you don't go and pick up that diamond ring now and do a Shabbos Aveda, so this person is going to have a $10,000 loss. So then the grad is an umdana pashit, and in such a situation, that the owner of this ring would, of course, reimburse you if you would go right now and take his Aveda and save his Aveda. So in such a situation, we're not going to be even required to. And the case doesn't have to be as, you know, as extreme as we said. But you have to die in every case. But again, I want to just make the laws clear. Number one, I'm not allowed to take a reward unless, like we said, he insists. Number two, I'm not required to take a loss. That was also, you're not required to take a loss for Hashem's Aveda. However, we did see if it's within the realms of Pasha basic menschlichkeit and decency that Avada the person would pay you back and would reimburse you, of course, that is required, that person is mechuyev to be a mensch, as we say, and he would be mechuyev to takadu Hashem's Aveda in this situation. Oh. Now, the Maestro, Gemara also said that, let's say I taka save his Aveda over my Aveda, I have a choice of saving my Aveda or his Aveda. Gemara does say, taka, that he, how much would you have to pay him for being metapel with the Aveda? You do not have to pay him for the amount of what he lost in his Aveda, you'd have to pay him for the amount of a worker, what it would cost to have a worker for that amount of time, unless he stipulated that I'm only saving your Aveda if you, you know, reimburse me for my Aveda. So, these are the basic rules. Again, we're just trying to figure out now, to what extent was the Torah mechayev me in the midst of Hashem's Aveda. But now, I want to go to the next. In Geneva, we know there's a halacha like this. Let's say, for example, in Halva, we'll go first, Halva. In the loan, let's say I borrow money from somebody. So you're required, you borrowed money from somebody, you're mechuyev, to go and bring the money to the malvin. You're the Baba Kama, I borrowed money, it's my responsibility to bring it back to the lender. That's my responsibility. It's not on the lender to come to me, it's required of the borrower to go to the lender. One case. This is another case. This is a case of Geneva. Because Chazal tell us, it's Betim Shulchan Aruch, that there's a requirement of the person who lost who had it stolen the object. Somebody stole my item. Now the ganef wants to do tshuva, so he calls up and he says, "Look, I did it. I was the one. I stole it from you." The person who was stolen from, he has to go and get the item back. Why? Not fair. What did I do? Right? Demis is a lot of places can say it's not fair, but we managed to make what's called a takanas hashavim. We want to make it easy, like Gemara Sukkot says, we also over here, we want to make it easy for the person to do tshuva. If we're going to make it hard for him, he's going to call up and say, okay, you know, where do you live? Milwaukee. Where are you? China. Right? And then he's going to go, you know, I'm trying to do tshuva, you know, and the guy now says, the person who was stolen from says, fine, bring it to me. The guy says, you know, forget it. You don't see my face. I don't know your face. Phone call never happened. You're never getting back your watch. Sorry, right? So then, we want to make it easy for the person to do tshuva. So there's a takan over there that we say that the person who it was stolen from, he has to come to the ganef and he has to take it back. Another law. What if, let's see, Rabbi Yisai, what would be if it was stolen b'shoigeg, accidentally stolen, right? I'll give you an example. Classic case of something that was accidentally stolen. What's an accidentally ganef case? My case? I gave the person in Bnei Brak how much money? I gave him 20 shekel. How much was I supposed to have given him? 50 shekel. What's that called? He didn't realize it. What's that called? Let's say I bought a safer. That was the case, right? I bought a safer. the Sefer Taka cost 50 shekel. And Ramaisa, I gave the fellow only a 20 shekel bill. So what's that called? That's called that 30 shekel of the Sefer that I'm holding right now stolen by me. That means I'm holding that, I took it from him, I did it by accident, of course. I'm not a bad person, but it's not a question over here of a toyeth of a Yisrael. It's not a question of a mistake. It's a question of stealing. It's a question of stealing by mistake. I stole by mistake. It's not a question of Hashavas Aveda. It's not a question that somebody lost something. It's a question that I took something without rights. I mistakenly took something without rights. So, but what am I called? I'm called, for all intents and purposes, a Ganev B'Shoigig. No, a Ganev B'Shoigig, what should be the halacha? Who has to go? Now, you see, my Mishnah opposite of what we would have thought. Who has to go? So, I called up, then I went with the Shiloh to the Ashen. And Rabbi Yashin told me it's my responsibility to go back to Bnei Brak and to bring it to him. Why? Because the whole reason why we said that again, the reason why he doesn't have to go after the person he stole it from, because it's kind of a shoving. Otherwise, the fellow's not going to do tshuva. My shame came when a person did something by mistake, like me. Well, I'm not going to go and return it. Of course I'm going to return it. I never purposely stole the money in the first place. So therefore, who is it, Al Pitzekel, who is it, Mutlan, who's responsible to go and return this stolen item? Of course, it's incumbent on the person who stole it. He's not going to do tshuva. Of course he's going to do tshuva. He only did it b'gneg. He only did it b'shaygig. So it'll come out in this case, it'll come back in that case, I would have the responsibility, since I have 30 shekel of stolen sefer by me, it would be my responsibility to go to the store owner in Bnei Brak and to give him the extra 30 shekel. That's the first case. But what about the case with the opposite, right? The emissary, I asked this question of Yashik, also said the same story that will come out. What if that case would have been the opposite? Let's say I would have given him a 50 shekel bill, okay? And and the safer was worth 35 shekel, right? And he paid me back, he gave me 20 shekel change, right? No, so what happened here? I don't have stolen by me anything. Because when I handed him the money, that money was enough make the sale, to buy the sefer. 50 shekel. In that 50 shekel was 35 shekel. Within that 35 shekel was the ability to be able to buy the sefer. What happened here? He gave me back extra change. What's that called in English? When a person gives me extra change? In English, that's called toyus yisrael. That's called he made a toyus. He gave me extra change. That's, what is that? That's really doime. That's likened to the case of a shavas aveda. That's more like the case of Shavas Aveda. It's not like the case of Geneva. Geneva is when I took the sefer and I did not give him the amount that could possibly make the kinyan, that could possibly buy it. Here, I gave him the amount that could possibly buy the sefer. Just what happened? He gave me back extra change. This is like in the case of Shavas Aveda. Now we have to go and look at what's the halacha of Shavas Aveda. To what extent is it mutl on the finder of the lost object to return it to the loser? So the halacha is that in this case, all the finder's responsibility to do is, even though it says in the pasuk, adroi shachicha, you have to go and make sure he's not a rabbi, and you have to go and find him, we'll see Bez Hashem tomorrow, you have to put up signs, and how to put up signs, we'll talk about it a different time, but yeah, that's your responsibility. But all your responsibility is to let the loser know where his chepetz is. But once he knows where his chepetz is, whose responsibility is it to come and pick it up? The pasuk in Malachi, it's Mavur in Malachi, in Hilchas Hashavas Aveda, it is incumbent upon the loser to come and get it. I mean, he knows. You know, so look, let's say in this case, I would have to call up this teller in Bnei Brak, and I would tell him, listen, you gave me extra change, right? So I'll shove the Saveda, I have to watch his item, 5 shekel over here, and I have to try and get it back to him. But I would not be required to go to him. Case number 2. Case number 3. Go to the Muksa case. When do I have the responsibility to do a shove the Saveda? When not? So the Chasam Sofer discusses this case. I just have to give out a 1 minute dhamma in the halacha of the muksa. There are 2 types of muksa. There's what we call evil muksa, right? And there's what we call fake muksa. Let's say, in a nutshell, we'll give it, but what's evil muksa? Evil muksa is something that you can't move, not the tzarek kufay, not the tzarek kufay. That's real muksa. That's the type of muksa, if it's in your hand, you gotta drop it. Lamashal, something that's totally useless. Something, eggshells, dirt, peels of fruits, etc. Things that are totally useless. Those things, you're not allowed to move them. Now it's a kufay, now it's a kufay. How do you clean tables on Shabbos? So you have to do it. Minatzad, you have to move it al yidei something else. You'll have to, let's say you'll have the eggshells on the table, you have to move it with a napkin. Minatzad, you won't be able to move it directly for the market. It's a big arichas thing. But that's when something's real muksa. Real muksa, you can never move. Then there's something else. It's something called fake muksa. That's what the Goyim calls it. It's not real muksa. It's called kli shemalach tel yisr. It's a kli, who the purpose of this kli is to do what? Is to do yisr. Now, that kli has a usage. It's not a useless thing. It's just the usage is forbidden on Shabbos. Such a thing, because now we're afraid if we let this guy play with his hammer on Shabbos, right? If you let him walk around with his hammer, so the next thing you know, he'll be building, he'll start banging in nails into the wall. So Chazal said, you're not allowed to use your hammer on Shabbos. However, in fake mukta, Chazal gave a take. For example, Chazal said it's mutter to move the hammer with tzorech gufay, tzorech mekayma. You're allowed to use this hammer for a Shabbistic use. For example, I need to crack the coconut. So I'd be allowed to take this hammer and crack the coconut. Because that's called, I'm using the hammer for a mutter dikki use. We're not afraid if he's using it for a mutter Shabbos dikki use that he's going to go now and come to, like, you know, build buildings on Shabbos. We're not afraid because he's doing it specifically Shabbos. Or, for example, if this hammer is blocking where I want to sit, so then we say, no, say that that's also tzairich of the makim. Tzairich of the makim. Okay. That's fake muksa. One more thing that goes into evil muksa. If you have something, very, very careful. Careful, you wouldn't use it for anything else, Klal. Like, you know, let's say an expensive cell phone. Very expensive cell phone, you wouldn't use it. Depends on the person, if for him it's expensive. But let's say he has a cell phone, he'd never just use it for other things, etc. Right? He's very careful with it. That is called mukta machnas chesaron kes. That, once again, you're not allowed to move, you're not allowed to move this thing. Okay? Now let's go back. I find on the floor one of two things. Now we have to see. If I find on the floor that expensive cell phone, right? Let's see. I'm not allowed to move it. Not l'tzarech gufay. Not l'tzarech mekayma. Right? There is one eitza to move muksa. We know that there are many paiskim, the Mishbura included, that hold that you're allowed to kick muksa. If it's a big tzarech, you're allowed to move it in a funny way, as we'll call it, you know, with a shinoi. In a strange way. Right? We don't like doing this l'chatzilah. We don't like kicking our muksa on Shabbos. That the Mishbura only gives you a heter if you have no choice. So let's say in this case over here, I would find on the floor, I find one of these expensive mice, I might find an expensive cell phone on the floor. So then, let's see. Am I required to do a Shabbos Aveda? Right? So one thing is, maybe I'll say that it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, maybe we waived mukta. And he's allowed to actually pick it up and bring it. Mukta is only a din d'rabbanan. So maybe he's allowed to pick it up and do a Shabbos Aveda. Maybe that's one way to look at it. The Chasam Sefer dances this shayla. Another thing, maybe, Seder, maybe we're not going to let you do it, but maybe we'll make you kick it. Maybe we'll make you kick it. Right? We'll make you kick it all the way down, you know, to a certain place, to a safe area, etc., in order to do the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda. Number two. Number three, what if it's a kli shel machlo yisrael? Let's say I find on the floor my friend's hammer, right? I find the hammer on the floor. It's a kli. We think a purpose is to move. So it's mutter to move a kli shel machlo yisrael. Let's say what? Let's say gufay. Let's say mekaymai. What about the tzarech shabbos aveda? Right? As we see already, there is a certain hetes over here. What's the halach over here? Would they let me move it? Let's say shabbos aveda. And this is that the Chasam Sefer dines on these shilas. And the Chasam Sefer brings an interesting right. Sefer says that in Siman Shin Vav, Nar Chaim, it speaks about over there, the halacha of a person who finds an Aveda. So the Gemara says, you're supposed to go and you're supposed to announce it in the shuls. Says the Shulchan Aruch, on Shabbos you're allowed to announce Avedas. Right? On Shabbos you're allowed to announce the Avedas. Right? Even though you might have thought, and here that's what Sefer explains, you might have thought, you're allowed to talk about I'm going driving somewhere after Shabbos, so maybe I wouldn't be allowed also to discuss because maybe I found what? I'm going to say I found the cell phone. Not allowed to discuss that. It's a muksa item. It's a asudik item. So the chiddush is you are allowed. That's a cousin cipher. If you're allowed to actually pick up the actual muksa items, right? You're allowed to pick it up and do a Shabbos Aveda. If you'd be allowed because let's say we waived a Shabbos Aveda, or let's say because you're allowed to kick it, or let's say because it's a klisha lachal yitzer and it's a tzarech Shabbos Aveda, so you would be allowed to actually move that. So would you need to tell me that you're allowed to go and actually say in the shuls a chrozla and proclamation that I found an Aveda? You wouldn't need to tell me. Obviously, if I'm allowed to actually pick it up and to return the Aveda, or to be metapel with the Aveda and try and get it to its rightful owner, so then obviously I'd be allowed to speak about it in the shul on Shabbos. So why do you have to tell me that? Because I'm safer from this. The end is the riot. That's so mukach. Maybe the Gemara is just saying this is the most, maybe the Shulchan Aruch is just saying this is the most opportune time in shul on Shabbos when everybody's around. But the Chasam Sefer, because of this, the Chasam Sefer makes a big decide. The way I understood the Chasam Sefer, said, look, anything that the Bailim himself wouldn't do, right? He himself couldn't obviously pick this thing up. So then the finder, also, you can't expect him to do. It's a little bit daima, you're listening with a good ear, to the excited you see by a Zakin Bein Lufi Kvaida. Now, you know, a Zakin who it's not for him to go and pick up a certain Aveda, right? So, I have a cash. The Zakin, the person who lost it, how does this work? The person who lost it, says the Chasam Sefer, he's Aveda's over there, a Zakin walks by. My requirement to respect the Chacham, and Gemara that I have to stand up for the Chacham when he walks by, it also requires me to be mindful of my mamon. You know, be mindful that I don't mind that nobody's picking up my money right now, in order that this Talmud Chacham shouldn't have to be mevaz himself to pick up my thing, which he found underneath the car. Here too, he says, you know, this type of insight, that wherever the Bailam himself would not have been able to pick up his Aveda, or whatever the case may be, so then it can't be that the finder is going to be more responsible than the loser. We find this concept by Krika also, you know? Same idea, that if I'm just sitting on the side and watching the fellow, you know, go and help my animal unload, then you're putter. I'm sitting on the side, just watching the Gemara says, the Mishnah says later on, if you're just sitting on the side of the road, and you say, hey, you go and unload the animal, then you're putter. If the Bible doesn't do it, then you don't have to do it. But again, this is a big chiddush of some cipher. It's a big chiddush. Well, my sister seems to be, the Pais can take a go, because I didn't see anybody's chiddush. And they seem to go with the Chassam Sefer. And the Chassam Sefer seems to say that I'm not Mechliyev too. Kick it, I'm not Mechliyev too. It's certainly that you're not allowed to pick it up, even though there's a mitzvah deraisa. What about Mishim Lachav Yeser? So that we have a big insight. Hash this is that the only time we're Mekal on Mishim Lachav Yeser is if it's a tzarich of the Shabbos. For example, you know, the air, the wind is blowing on me. The air of the fan is blowing on me. So I'm allowed to turn the fan. Because I want to sit over here. It's ruining my Shabbos. It's ruining my... Well, the opposite. The fan is blowing that way, and I want the fan to blow on me. That's called I'm moving the Kli Shemachdes. Let's Tzarek Wa. Let's Tzarek the Shabbos. Let's Tzarek Kufay. Right? But, over here, the Tzarek of HaShabbos Aveda, that's not Tzarek Shabbos. It's not Tzarek Shabbos. The Chaya, we wouldn't be Mekel, even on a Kli Shemachdes Yisrael. You know, you find the hammer on the floor, the Chaya, you have to leave it. These are the various Yisraelis that we saw today of different scenarios of where, again, if there's a Shabbat Pruta involved, if there's an involvement of a Shabbat Pruta, less than a Shabbat Pruta, a person is not required to pick it up. We saw what is the sheet of less than a Shabbat Pruta, the view of Maisha, wanted something that's under the smallest value that you could buy something in Damadina, for example, a quarter, right? You wouldn't be required already to pick it up. We also saw that on Shabbat Aveda, and now you have to take a loss of money, number one. At the same time, we saw you can't take a reward. At the same time, we saw that once I do find this item, it's not my responsibility to get it back to the owner. It's the owner's responsibility to get it from me. Mashaykin, we saw by Geneva, Bishaygig. If a person stole something by accident, whose responsibility is to get this item? It's the person who actually stole it. It's his responsibility to bring it back, just like we find by a halva, that if I borrow money, it's my responsibility to bring it back to the lender. We also saw by Muksa, a big insight that the Chassam Sefer tells us that we do not say that the halachas of HaShabbos Aveda override, that since they're deraisa, and they override this din of muksa, and since muksa is only to upon it, I would have thought maybe next day, this is no, not mutal on the finder to be over on the lachas of muksa in such a situation. That I wanted to end with one akuda, that this Gemara Bamis is another record also, for the lachas that we know that whose aveda do you have to return? It's your responsibility to return shroish achicha, your brother, right? But you're not required to return the aveda of a guy. That's the halacha. You're not required, and let's explain. There's three levels. It says the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Reish, I think it was Reish Samach Dal. The Shulchan Aruch brings down that there are three levels. There's a level where it's going to be aser to return the aveda of a guy. Says Shulchan Aruch. There's going to be a level where it's going to be a chiyiv to return the aveda of a guy. There's going to be a middle level where there'll be a mitzvah to return not chiyuv, but a mitzvah to return the aveda of a guy. What are the situations like this? If it's you're returning the aveda because you think it's the right thing to do, ethical thing to do, right? That's why you want to turn the guy's aveda. Then Shulchan Aruch says it's aser. We do the mitzvahs of Hashem because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told us to do these mitzvahs. If you're doing it because it's the right thing to do, then when you're returning it to the Jew, you're also doing it because it's the right thing to do. We don't do it because it's the right thing to do. We do it because Kasher Siva Hashem, because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam told us to return it. You know, the person who's mechabed his parents, right? Because that's the right thing to do, right? So then he goes up after 120 years, all the time he's always mechabed his parents, always such a nice person. He's Esav. Esav's also mechabed his parents, such a nice man, a nice Esav, such a lovely son. But that's not what we do it because the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's Ratzon, we turn that action into a mitzvah. Otherwise, what makes you different than the guy who's doing the exact same action? Right? We pay back workers, right? Because the Talmud tells us pay back workers. You have a kavanah. A 30 millionth of a second you think before you do the action, I'm doing this because Hashem told me pay the worker on time, you get a mitzvah. If you're paying the worker because it's the right thing to do, you just have a mundane mitzvah. That mitzvah does not live forever. But if you have kavana, I'm doing this action because Hashem told me to do this action. You just turn this action into nitzlius. You turn this action into an action that lives forever. Same thing that the Veda says to Tanakh. If you're returning it because you feel it's right, that's not why we return a Vedas. We return a Vedas because Hashem, and I'll prove it to you. If you ask the guy, they'll tell you, find his keepers, this is weepers. We return a Vedas because Hashem told us to return a Vedas. Number one. Number two. The second case. Let's say, if you don't return this Aveda, it will be a Chilul Hashem. Mashal, they see you, somebody sees you, you're in a Gaisha area, and people see you, and they see you picking this thing up, and he puts it in his pocket. Be a Chilul Hashem. Mamash Chilul Hashem. People say, oh, you see, that's how Jews are. Mamash Chilul Hashem. Such a case, you're chayiv to return this Aveda. That's the second case. The third case is, if a person is in a situation where he could create a Kiddush Hashem. Could create a Kiddush Hashem. I'll tell you a story. Mamash I was in England, my wife died 7 or 8 years ago. I was in Bournemouth, and I was there, and the lady, the Gersh lady, she gave me extra change. Right? She gave me change, tak, mom, like we talked about today, tak. I gave her a 50-pound bill. She gave me change for a 100-pound bill. I made a lot of money over there, you know? She gave me back 65 pounds change. The boat cost 35 pounds, and she gave me back 65 pounds change. Right? No, I thought for a second. It's always the brain has to be on, right? Chil Hashem, it wouldn't be a Chil Hashem here. She made a mistake. I don't know. I just put the money in my pocket. And I'm just being Simon on her. There wouldn't be an issue of a Chil Hashem. Right? Now, the only question we have now is, could there be a Kiddush Hashem? Right? So, on site. Look, I look quite Jewish. No matter what baseball cap I put on, but the beard and the pants and this, and everything, it's not shy, the strings, it doesn't, you see my kids, they got big, stupid pants, That's what I'm saying. We are the Jewish poster boys, understand? So, what's gonna happen if I return this to a nice English, Goyish lady, right? So, so when I took the money, I turned the money, and I said, look, you made a mistake, I think you made a mistake, I only gave you 50 pounds, and you gave me 100 pounds here. Unbelievable. She says, you don't know what would happen to me if I would have done it. And then she said the magic word. If I would have not had the money at the end of the day, then I could have lost my job because they make a cheshbon. They would have thought I stole this. And then she said the magic. You're such a wonderful person. I said, no. I told her, like the Gemara says, by Shimon ben Shetach, he returned the extra money that Tommy brings down. He turned somebody else who gave money. He says, don't thank me. Thank Elokei Yisrael. It's not me. His mom should give money. Says, don't thank me. Thank Elokei Yisrael. I said, It's not me, because we know that the world holds by the concept of find his keepers, lose his weepers. It's our God. He tells us that what to do is, in order for the world to exist in such a wonderful life, that people should return things of other people. That's our God, the Jewish God. That's what he requires us to do. And our job is not to try and make them converts. That's not what we're trying to go for. But at the same time, you're doing it. It's such a Kiddush Hashem. Mashen Kain, let's say it would be like this, I return the money. Wow, Shragi, you're the greatest. Wow, you are absolutely... No, you're the absolute greatest. You're such a wonderful person. And I'm sitting there going, that's right. Right? So then that's us here. That's us here. Then you'd have no heter in the world to return the avodah in such a situation. You wouldn't even be allowed to return the avodah in such a situation. It's unbelievable. I want to end with one thing. We finished the halachic aspect. But again, the same thing. We learned this out from Adrosh Achicha. You have to drash your brother to return the avodah. When your brother is, it could be, if he's not your brother, you're not allowed to return it if you're returning it for the wrong reasons. If you're returning it for the reasons you want to make a Kiddush Hashem, then it becomes a mitzvah. If it's a Shailu Chil Hashem, avada, you're required to return it. Avada. That's why I ended one story. Unbelievable. There's we talked today about not taking a reward. Very nice. We talked today about not taking a reward for Hashem's avada. There's a story to Rav Zelmula. Rav Zelmula Velazhin. Rav Zelmula. Oh, the nice Rav Zelmula. Rav Zelmula, one time Rav Zelmula worked and he had to get money to collect for his daughter's chasana. So he worked and he worked in another town and those, and he finally came up with the 500 kopecks, rubles, whatever, medieval Polish money, zlatas, whatever. They came up with his 500 shekel. So he's walking through a certain town on his way back to his daughter to bring money for the chasana. And he heard a shout in the house. Looks into the house. And he sees the cow on the floor. The cow, never, she's lying on the floor. She just fainted. And the mother's crying. And the chassan is standing there. He looks very angry. Hey, what happened? Happened was that there was a yisoyma, Nebuch. And she had to collect, they had to collect money for her in the town for her to get married. And it was 500 rubles, kopecks, whatever it was. Right? They had to collect the money for her in the town. And what happened was she went to open up the drawer. The mother of the kala, mother of the bride, opened the drawer. Where's the money? The money's gone. She couldn't believe it. The Kala fainted, and the mother's crying, and the chassid's makba, I'm not marrying her. You told me I'm only marrying her if there's going to be, you know, an adunya, if there'll be a dowry of 500 kopecks, rubles, and slugidugis, whatever you call these things. And where's the money? It's God's check! Kitty Avzalman walks in, and Avzalman says, how much was it? And they tell him 500. Avzalman says, you have a simon. Tell him where the money is. He says, I found it. And it's a nace from Shemayim that I worked out the exact amount of pills, etc. And Zelmula took out the 500 kopecks and gave it to the chassid, and he said, but I want a reward.
Want a reward?
Yeah, I want a reward. You want a reward. I'm not masking to marry this girl for not one. You know, she's waking up, the girl. And then she hears I want a reward, and she falls back down again, faints again. I'm not masking to marry for one less puta. So Zelmula says, I'm not giving to you. I want a reward. Kids, they go to the rav of the town. Rav of the town, they don't know if Zelmula was the guy's tzaddik, but he went to Nista that people shouldn't know who he was.
Went to the Rav of the town and said,
I found the money, but I want a reward. What? You rush, get out of town, they kick him out, you're not even allowed to take a reward. Also, like we spoke today, the president wants to give a reward, you're allowed to take a reward. I'm a chassid shalom to ask for a reward, and he kicked him out of town for the money. God, everybody has to after with the Talmid, the master of Zelmula. What's going on over here? Like, what was that also? Zelmula said like this, when he started giving back the money, the gates of hurricane to him. Hurricane to him. You, Abzalmala, you're such a tzaddik. You are such a tzaddik. In the whole world, Mistama sins, you know, like, Mistama sins from Akiva, there hasn't been such a tzaddik like you, right? Giving that money for the Kala, you know that money's yours. Then, he started to push away the gates of Hara. Then when it came time, Mamish, to give he actually took out the money to give it, the gates of Hara came to the Abzalmala and said, I'm wrong. You're not as big a tzaddik for Akiva. You're as big as, Mamish, you're as big as Tovin HaMelech. Tovin HaMelech. When he put the money and he gave it, he told the chassan, give me the simon. And the chassan started giving him the simon. The entire kingdom said, that's it. We made a special, in Shemayim, a special sitting, and we came out. You're as big as Moshe Rabbeinu and Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, all put together. This is the biggest mice of tzitzkis in the history of the world ever. Right? And he started picking up Azamba. So Zalman said he had to do something that would get him big bizarreness. He had to do something that would give him such embarrassment that he would deflate. Right? So he asked for a reward. He knew what would happen to him if he asked for a reward. Okay.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.